First Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3.
Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase, and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
I would like us to consider these few verses from the verse number 17 of the chapter 2 to the verse number 3 of the chapter 3, the third chapter, as one short passage, just to observe that amazing love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart and in the work of the Apostle Paul and the other gospel workers with him.
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions.
In the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, we have the true story of the father Jesse back at home and the three eldest sons of his up on the front line in the battle with the Philistines under the king Saul. And Jesse is calling his youngest son David and said, take these things to the battlefield, to the front line, and look how thy brethren fare. Father Jesse was so concerned what's going to happen to Israel, what was going to happen to his sons, and he also wanted to send them some food, some refreshment, and something that will satisfy their needs. It was a long trip to the battlefield. It was also a dangerous trip. And David was needed down at home to take care of the flocks. But the concern and care of a parent for his children is presented here in this first book of Samuel, chapter 17, in such a beautiful way. Way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, in the verse number 13 and on, we see a dialogue between the father Israel and his second youngest son Joseph. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And Joseph replied to the father, here am I. And the father said to Joseph, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. The sons of Jacob, just as the sons of Jesse were adults, and yet the fathers are concerned for their children. Last evening I went down to the chicken coop to see that everything is in order for the night, and I looked at a mother hen so gently, so tenderly covering her chicks to protect them through the night from the cool of the night. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 23, in the verse 37, the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "How often I wanted to bring your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye were not willing." The Apostle Paul himself was persecuted probably more than any other disciple of his time. He knows how to trust the Lord and not to fear the enemy. He is delighted and full of joy whenever he gets a news that disciples keep the faith and serve the Lord, and even in persecution spread the testimony of the gospel. And here in the first verse of the chapter 3 he says, "Ah, we cannot wait any longer." So they sent Timotheus, a brother, a minister of God, a fellow laborer in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to establish the Thessalonians, to share with the Thessalonians of that comfort that the Lord himself is giving to his experienced warriors and gospel workers. If Timotheus himself was overly burdened with persecution, if he himself was a downcast, he wouldn't be able to comfort the Thessalonians. If his own faith was shaken, weakened by the persecution, how could he strengthen in the faith the others around him? And the message that Timotheus was taking from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians is, none of us should be moved because of the afflictions, because of sufferings, because of persecution. We ourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Once again, we are facing a picture of the body of Christ. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, and he said, "It is finished." The redemption of our souls he has completed. None can add to that or take away from that. But we are his body, and his body is suffering ever since the days of Golgotha, and will suffer until the moment when we see him in the clouds with the multitudes of the heavenly angels. Until his triumphant return, his body will suffer. In our sufferings, we experience the grace and power of the Spirit of Christ working in us. Why are we appointed thereunto? I believe that I did speak about this in some previous recordings, but maybe just a few words can be added here. We can consider David, the young man, faithful to the Lord, loving his own nation as the people of God, persecuted by the godless King Saul, for a long time suffering that persecution, false accusations, and the misjudgment of a king troubled in his own conscience. David, the young man, remained faithful. And now we can compare the same man with David the king, idle, taking a long nap and then walking upon the rooftop and lusting after a woman that was not his wife. in the epistle to the Philippians in the chapter 3 from the verse number 7, Paul is writing of his burning desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. From the verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, in the verse number 12 and 13, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, in the verse number 34, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us not to be burdened or pressed with eating and drinking more than necessary, and taking care only of this life instead of looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Godly people are more prayerful in their sufferings, and the believers that are prayerful during the time of suffering and tribulation often experience the nearness of the Lord and His wonderful loving kindness, His fellowship, because He is together with us in our suffering, because we are His body. Here in this chapter 3, we see Paul's concern, godly concern, for the believers in Thessalonica, as for his own children, because the love of the Lord was in his heart. When we know the value of our suffering, the purpose of it, when we know that the Lord has appointed us unto suffering for our good, for the testimony to the others, both the fellow believers and to those that are opposing the gospel, in our suffering we provide a testimony that the gospel of the Lord is worth living for and dying for. And how many times I consider, just in my short lifetime span, that the unbelievers suffered not only as much, but even more than the people of God. And all of that for one purpose, that they would suffer forever on the other side of the grave. In the verse number 4, Paul says, For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know it. And in the last verse of the chapter 2, Paul is saying, Ye are our glory and our joy. The behavior, the manners of the Thessalonians was exemplary in many ways, but an encouragement in brotherly love is always a blessing from the Lord. And that is something that every one of us should consider, to be an encourager, to be comforter, to acknowledge the good things that we receive from the Lord, and to praise the Lord and encourage our fellow believers. It is good to acknowledge everything that is happening and all the efforts that our brothers and sisters in Christ are enduring and investing in the gospel call to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the verse number 5, Paul is saying, I could no longer wait, so I had to send to you, referring to Timotheus probably, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Those that labor in the Lord and endure in their service to the end, they are going to be greatly rewarded by the Lord. Even now, in their difficulties, in their running the race, in their labor in the field of the gospel teaching, they are rewarded even more so when we that are disciples are learning and practicing with a faithful application day by day of all that the Lord is teaching us. The concern of the Apostle Paul was that when we listen to the gospel, we don't hear it anymore, because in our ears are still the threats and the insults of the enemy. We get burdened down by the temptations, testings, and trials, and we become defeated believers. Then we cannot benefit from the labor of the apostles. We don't want to please the enemy in accepting defeat, but rather continue in prayer and supplication, and with the help of the Lord endure the testings and trials, and remain faithful to the Lord, that our joy in the Lord and our reward in Christ be full and complete now and in eternity. Timotheus returned back after having visited the Thessalonians, and he was filled with joy, bringing good news to the Apostle Paul. And Paul is referring to that, apparently, in the verse number 6 and on. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also desire to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. By your faith we are comforted. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. As if Paul the Apostle, hearing the good news about the Thessalonians, is saying in his heart, ah, that's life, the new life in Christ. Paul and his group of believers, the gospel workers, had a great distress, a lot of affliction, continual suffering, and yet, in such a time, they are remembering the Thessalonians and sending Timotheus to be with them for a while and to comfort and encourage them. That is the godly concern. That is the loving care of our Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of the apostle. In their affliction, in their distress, in their suffering, they remember the Thessalonians, and they were so joyful hearing that the Thessalonians are living and growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus. As we pray in our prayers to the Lord for the needs of our life in Christ, for the necessities of our souls, so we should remember in our prayers all the brethren in the Lord. We are one family. We are one body, the body of Christ the Lord. And whenever we get a good news about the other believers, we should be filled with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, because it's so natural for our inner man, our new man, newborn creature in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, to thank the Heavenly Father for the abundance of His gifts and blessings. In the verse number 9, Paul is writing, "What thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we are rejoicing for your sakes before our God?" Paul is grateful for the gifts and blessings of the Lord. He is also grateful, in addition to that, for the joy that comes with receiving these gifts and blessings of the Lord. I want to read verse number 9 together with verse number 10. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." The Thessalonians are not perfect in faith, but they are holding the faith. They keep the word of God. They are growing in their knowledge and understanding of the will of the Lord. And that is the reason for that great joy in the heart of the Apostle Paul. His prayers are filled with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for His abundant goodness and grace. And in his prayer, there is always that desire to see the Thessalonians, to share the abundance of God's grace with them, and to fill in the spaces that are still in need of some further improvement. We are never too faithful. We never have too much of the grace of God. We always have some needs, and we always need to grow in the faith. In the verse 11, Paul is saying, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you with all the prayers, all the praises, with all the great desire to see the Thessalonians. Everything is laid down at the feet of the Lord, that His will be done." They are confident that they will see the Thessalonian believers at the time appointed by the Lord, and then no enemy can stop or prevent that. In the meantime, Paul is writing in the verse number 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and together toward all the others, even as the Apostle Paul and his fellow gospel laborers are loving and having godly concern for the Thessalonians." And in the verse number 13, this is the goal, this is the intention, the desire, that God would establish their hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. It's always that one intention, that one desire that is over all. Be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be ready right now. The Lord may come even after our departure from this life, but we want to be ready any moment, any time. I believe that the Word of God is teaching us to remember one another in our joys, in our sufferings, in our tribulation, and in the time of peace and tranquility. And when we get together, those that are not living together in the same location, that we should remember the wonderful deeds of the Lord, His many deliverances, His glorious salvation, His ransom and redemption by such a great price for such a great glory. For truly, as we read in the Psalm number 23, The goodness and the mercy of the Lord is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage.